this morning we were looking at witnessing. And you know, this has been a wonderful mountaintop experience. And God has truly blessed each and every one of us. He has showed up this weekend. I have felt his presence working in me, saying words I never even thought of saying. And I praise the Lord for that. I give him glory and honor. And as we bow our heads now and invite the Spirit of the Lord to come once again, one last time before we go down the hill and leave this beautiful mountaintop experience, we want to bring the mountain with us now, down the hill in the form of witness, becoming his through witnessing. Father, we thank you, we praise you, we glorify your wonderful, wonderful name. You are a mighty God and a wonderful Savior. Please, please speak on my behalf, Lord. Oh, Father, just let self diminish and let them see the glory of God so that you would be lifted up and you would draw all these precious women to your heart even closer. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. Again, I want to thank the wonderful committee, your Pastor Sandra, and it's just been an awesome time for me here. Wonderful, well-needed break. I needed this break. Oh, praise the Lord. And I just thank the cooks. They did an awesome job. You know, these meals were prepared. And I want you to know, I know some of you here came expecting maybe a little bit of chicken and you know, some beef cutlets and things like that. But let me tell you, you know, don't you always want the best for your children? God wants the best for his children. And you know, 2 days without meat is not going to kill you. Come on. You know, that's why God gave the children of Israel manna. He gave them grains because he knew it was the best. But they cried out for meat. He fed them the meat and they all died. So he's going to give you what's best for you. And the reason why you have been so receptive of the Holy Spirit this week is that you have not contaminated yourself with foods and products that will dull the thinking. You are bright and alert. We maybe had a little bit more sugar than we should, but you know, hey, we can splurge just a little. But we want to thank God for a delicious vegan meal. Let us not complain. Let us give God praise that he cleansed our vessels this weekend. Hallelujah. You know, it doesn't take a rocket science to know the disease in animals right now. And I was a meat eater too. And so I know where you are. Just pray. Ask God to lead you, give you strength. Take it one day at a time. But arrive there.
Amen.
Reach that goal. Hallelujah. All right, let us focus now and thank God for what he has done. Witnessing, Matthew 28, verse 19. And we all know what this scripture says here. God, Jesus is commanding the disciples that they should go into all the world, into all the earth, to preach the good gospel. Matthew 28, verse 19. If I could get there as quick, that would help. Okay, Matthew 28, verse 19 says, go ye therefore. Before that, let's look at 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Beautiful. God gives a command as he is giving a command to you all today to now go and share what you have learned up here. God wants the gospel to be spread, and that's the way he ordained it to be. Before we go, we have to put on the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, turn there with me, sisters. Ephesians chapter 6, we got to put on this armor. You cannot just go because we stand up against the wiles of Satan. And he is a foe that we cannot contend with. Do not think you can take on the devil by yourself. Never underestimate him. He's got more experience than you will ever have. You will ever have. So Ephesians 6 tells us, and we're going to go through verse by verse if we can. Chapter 11 says, in chapter 6, sorry, it's chapter 6, verse 11. Let's go to verse 11. It says, put on the whole armor of God. Actually, verse 10 says, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. How do you be strong and in the power of his might? It goes on to say, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. In high places. Now let's look at this armor that we're going to put on. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, not just a piece. A piece won't do. The whole armor of God, that you will be able to stand in the evil day. The evil day is here, and it's going to get worse. It's not getting better. It's going to get worse. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth. This is your loin right here. The core of your body is your loin. When you exercise, you are told to strengthen the core of your body. The core of your body holds you upright. It gives power to the legs. If your core is weak, your body will be weak. So when the Bible talks about truth being girded around the loin, it's talking about truth has got to hold you up. It's talking about a foundation of truth. Your foundation as a Christian should be truth. And let me tell you, I'm going to be speaking to every religion under the roof right now, because we are Christian women and we are seeking truth. And if you're not seeking truth, you don't have any purpose being here. You have to understand what truth is. Your pastors are there to guide you. But the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So you need to go home and study the things you're hearing. You need to read upon them. You need to pray and ask the Lord if it is truth. Because if truth is the foundation of this armor that's going to hold on every piece, you're going to have it. You need to have it. You need to have it. Well, let's talk about truth for a minute. Let's talk about truth. What is truth? The Bible is awesome at interpreting itself. You got to search. And that's why we ask the Holy Spirit to teach us. Don't pick up the word and think you can find out things for yourself. They're surface things. And most people are surface readers, and that's why there's so many different religions. Because we read surface. We don't labor. We don't dig for the treasure to understand God's word. And if you understand his word, it is like a maze, a tunnel that just runs through the Old and the New Testament, all linking up together to be one. It is a beautiful journey, and it's one that you will never really complete, because we're going on to learn more about Jesus even in the kingdom of heaven with him teaching us himself. It's beautiful. So what is truth? Turn to John, the book of John chapter 14, John chapter 14 and verse 6, John 14 verse 6. John 14 and verse 6 says here, Jesus saith unto him, and this is Jesus speaking, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So now we understand Jesus is defined as truth. All right? Now go to Psalms 119, 51. Psalms 119, 151. Psalms 119. Verse 151. And this psalm says here, and this is not the only place, there's a whole lot of other places, but we don't have time to go. Psalms 119, verse 151, and it says here, Thou art near, O Lord, and all
not some, not one, not two, not nine, but 10. All thy commandments are truth. So let's go back to Ephesians now and link it up. So what is Ephesians saying? Ephesians is saying, put on the whole armor of God, right? He says, it says, gird up your loins with truth. In other words, gird up your loins with Jesus and his commandments. You see, because Jesus and his commandments are one. They are one. The commandments are the characteristics that describe the God you serve. That's his nature. He doesn't lie. He doesn't steal. He doesn't commit adultery. He keeps the Sabbath day holy. This same God, he doesn't have any other gods before him. And you see, this is something that we need to fully understand. You see, when it comes to the law, we understand that sin is the transgression of the law. Oh, help me, Jesus, to explain this. Help me, Holy Ghost. Sin is the transgression of the law. It's the transgression of the character of God. If there is no law, then there is lawlessness. And it is the man of lawlessness that will come and deceive the world, the Antichrist. He's known as the man of lawlessness. The Bible brings it out. So if you don't have a law governing you, you are then lawlessness. And you see, what has happened in Christendom, and this is a major part of witnessing, because when you go and witness to people, you got to know the truth. You can't just go down there and just tell him, oh, Jesus saved. No, you got to know the truth. God is interested in truth in these end times. You see, when you knock on a door, and I knock on many doors, and I meet many Christian people, and many of them are not studied. They listen to their pastors, and they listen to cliches, and they listen to words that they've heard their grandmother say, and their mother say, and their auntie and uncles, and they're in a religion out of tradition. The Bible says, in vain do they worship me, teaching the traditions of man, using the traditions as doctrines. The traditions are not doctrines. They are two different things. Traditions are a way of life, what we are used to doing. It's a tradition for us to sit down every Thanksgiving and enjoy the meal. But a doctrine is a principle that is immovable. And the commandments are principles that is immovable. You can't move the commandments. You didn't make them. You didn't do anything to bring them about. God wrote the commandments, all 10 of them, with his own finger. And the commandment sits in the ark of the covenant, and God himself sits on the throne. So if God is on the throne and the commandments are in the mercy seat, you got to take God off that throne. You got to take him off the throne, remove him, then you got to go in there, take out that commandment, and chisel out what you want and what you don't need. And you can't do that. But man has claimed to do that. Man has claimed to do that. Study religions and you will see. They have claimed to do that. They've reduced the commandments. Some have 9. Some only have 2. Well, it's a new thing. God, we're not under the law. We're now under grace. When they don't even know what grace is, they haven't studied it. But it's a tradition they've heard over and over again.
Grace is the unmerited favor. That means God has done it all for me. He died for me. So therefore, I don't need to do anything but just go to church and worship him and enjoy him and be a good person. Holiness don't even come into the picture. Because you see, you can't be holy if you don't have the commandments. Because that is the standard of holiness. That's the standard of holiness. Think about it. The laws of the land are here to protect us. The laws of the land are here to govern us. And because I am not a felon, I have not committed a crime that will, you know, when I write and when I come into the country, they're going to look at me and go up in the computer and say, oh, she's a felon, we got to watch her. You know, then I'm under the law. That's what under the law means. That's what under the law means. I'm under the law. Okay? No, we're not under the law because we abide by the law. And when you go to the courts of law, there is a judge. And when the judge stands up, he rules. And what does the judge judge you by? By the law. He has to have a standard on which to judge you. He can't just judge you from, you know, what he thinks and feels. There's got to be a standard. You went through the stop sign and the stop sign said stop. Right? You didn't yield when the sign said yield. We have a law here. So who are we now to say that the God who created this universe has no law, has no rulership? He is not the judge. And yet this earth, this finicky little earth, has a law. Come on now, and have judges. Are they greater than God then, the creator? You see, if you don't have truth, you're going to get stuck. Because this, for Christian women, we need to know what we're talking about. We need to be studied. We need to understand what God is doing in these last days. Psalms 50, verse 6. For Psalms 50, verse 6, I just want to verify some of the things I'm saying. And I want you to continue to pray and ask God to lead and study and share with you. Psalm 50, verse 6 says, and the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. You look up judge in the concordance, and you will find so many areas and scriptures where God pronounces himself as judge of this world. He's going to judge us, and the only thing he can judge us by is the law. He has a standard. Because sin is the transgression of the law. So he has to judge us by the law. So then which law was done away with? If the law is done away with. The memorial law. The Moses law. That was done away with. Is the Sabbath in that law? Absolutely not. The Sabbath is the fourth commandment. That is the moral law. The law of God. Did I say that right? The moral, God's law is the moral law, right? Because there's the ceremonial, that's right, and the, thank you, Jesus. Right, so that is the law we're going to be judged by. You have to understand this, because when you go to witness, and you're going to have many people saying, well, you know, listen, I don't, you know, I'm a non-denominational, and there's no such thing as a non-denominational. I get constant emails about that. My nieces are non-denominational. Listen, if you have a set of beliefs, that makes you a denomination. Everybody has something, a set of rules, a set of beliefs, a set of doctrines that they go by. That defines a denomination. The non-denomination, what do they believe? They believe that all churches should come together, there's one. That's a doctrine. That makes them a denomination. You have to be able to state your fact and prove it. But everyone has a faith and belief. And that's why there's so many different Christian churches. That's why. Will we ever become one? We will. Because Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He said, many sheep I have of this fold. many. But he says, my sheep know my voice, and I will call them out into one fold. Jesus is going to do the calling out. He's going to create that beautiful fold that he has. And some of you Adventist ladies better get in that fold. Did you hear what I said? I'm going down the hill. I'm catching a plane tonight, so let me speak. Some of you Adventist ladies need to get in the fold. Because you are a Sabbath-keeping Adventist doesn't mean that you're going to heaven. Because you're going to be judged by the law as everybody else. And if you're lying, fornicating, if you're stealing, if you got a bad mind, if you're committing adultery, you can be a Seventh-day Adventist all you want and keep the Sabbath, but you're going nowhere, nowhere but here. You're going to stay right here, and you will burn with Satan. This is a serious thing, ladies. This is a serious thing. I want you to leave this hill really thinking about what you're going to share, how your witness is going to be. David meditated upon the law. He said, thy law have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Something else you're going to hear as you witness is that the law is gone, and it's the law of grace, and it's a new commandment because he put it in my heart. God didn't put the commandment in your heart in the New Testament alone. Yes, it was mentioned in the New Testament, but he put it in your heart a long time ago. It was in David's heart. David said, the law have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know? David meditated on that law so the law would work in him. The law would abide in him. So when he went to steal, the law would take control. When he went, you see, David sinned, but he learned from that sin. And that's why God said, you're a man after. He moved on. After he sinned, he made his mistake, he moved on. The character of Christ is the law. The law is the character of Christ. And that's why Jesus couldn't do away with the law, because he would have to do away with himself. He came and he fulfilled the law. That doesn't mean he fulfilled the law so that now you don't have to keep the law. What he did, he came as the embodiment of the law, because the law is his character. He doesn't steal. He doesn't kill. That's what his standard is. So he came to show us how to fulfill the law. That's the fulfilling of the law. He said, now follow me and watch how I fulfill this law. You can't do it, but I'm going to show you how. And so he came and he loved and he cared and he stood for truth. When the Pharisees came and they wanted to do this, and you see, they kept the letter of the law. You see, there's a difference between obedience and Pharisaicalism. There's a difference between obedience and being called a Pharisee. My nieces call me a Pharisee all the time. I go to church on Sabbath and I keep the law of God. And, you know, for them, as I try to witness to them over and over, it's, you know, you're a Pharisee, auntie, I'm sorry, but, you know, we don't have to go to church on Sabbath anymore. It's not, you know, God done away with the law. If he did away with the law, he did away with lying and stealing, he did away with it all. You know, we got to know what law we're talking about. You know, have some sense. I'd say, you know, come on, girls, have some sense. That's what I say to my nieces. What law? And, you know, they really can't answer it because the memorial law is done away with. But how do you do away with the law when we're governed by the law on this earth? The very law God gave, we're still governed by it in the courts of law here on earth. So then why would you chisel out the fourth and do away with it and keep the nine? When if the Bible says if you break one, you break them all. Come on, this is common sense, you know? It's logical. We got to be intellectual, and we got to be intelligent believers of Christ, and not just listen to words and go by these words and traditions of men. Study for yourself. And so as I speak with them, as I share with my nieces, you know, they say, Auntie, but there's only two commandments now. You love God and you love your neighbor as yourself, see? So the commandment is gone. So the Sabbath is gone. That was the Pharisees' Sabbath. Oh yeah, the Pharisees kept the Sabbath. And Jesus did too. Jesus never went to church on any other day but the Sabbath, because he was the law, and the fourth commandment was a part of him. It was his nature. So when they come to you with this, as you witness again, you say, listen, let's look at these two laws. There's the law here that says love God, love your neighbor. Look at the 10. And divide them. The first four talks only about God and honoring God. So that's why Jesus said, love God. And if you love God, what do? You don't put any images before him. You don't put any gods before him. There is one God and only God. So the first four, that's how you love God. The last six is about relationship. You're not going to steal your neighbor. You're not going to kill. You're not going to commit adultery. You know, and so therefore you love your neighbor. And when you love your neighbor, that's how you behave. So there's the law condensed into two, the 10 condensed into two. You see? So now you're showing God that you, when the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments, he's saying, love God and love your neighbor by keeping the first commandments and the last six commandments. That's how you show me that you love me. That's the proof of your love for God. Stand firm, because let me tell you, the delusions that are coming on this earth are great. And many, many Sabbath keepers who don't have the foundation, don't have the truth girded about their loins, are falling by the wayside right now into delusions, into other faiths, into what have you. They're leaving the fold. So we got to know what we're talking about. Put on the righteousness. Let's look at the righteousness, the helmet of righteousness. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that he may be able to withstand. Now we're looking at the breastplate of righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is acting in accordance with divine or moral law. Look at that. Free from guilt or sin. We're back in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're just looking again at now the other piece of the armor, which is righteousness. Righteousness is acting in accordance with divine or moral law, free from guilt or sin. Again, righteousness points back to the law. Again, you see, this is something, ladies, that we have to put deep into our chest. Because this breastplate of righteousness is not ours, but it is Christ's righteousness. It is his righteousness that we must adhere to, live by, allowing the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to come and take full control so that we can live upright. And that's what grace does. Grace, as I said to you on Friday, is the empowerment, the Bible says. It's power to live godly. It's power to live upright, holy lives. It's power to allow you to keep the commandments of God so you can make it into the kingdom. So you can make it into the kingdom. It's absolutely necessary for you to keep those commandments to make it into the kingdom. And it's in the book of Revelation. I pray the Holy Ghost will help me to find it very quickly. Here it is, Revelation 22, verse 14, and I'll just read it. It says, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the
gates into the city. It is a requirement. It is your passport into the kingdom of hell. Oh, Father, forgive me. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus. This is your path. You see, he don't like this message. He don't like this message at all. But this is your passport, saints, into the kingdom of heaven. That is your passport. And God has made it crystal clear. So righteousness, again, points back to the Lord. Now we're going to look at another piece here. All right. Now the Bible goes on to say in verse 15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Ooh, the gospel of peace. That's the good news. That's what you just heard this weekend, some good news, and you're going to take it home. The good news of Jesus and what he's done for you. Every one of you have a testimony. Your testimony has been weighed, and God has allowed you to go through what you can handle. Please don't look at me as though I'm some hero and you got to run and touch the hem of my garment. Please, please, the Lord will sit me down if you do that. He will sit me out of the way. And I don't want to be sat out of the way. I want to continue to work for Jesus. But if you start to see me as Jesus and me as the superhero as me, I need your faith. You don't need my faith. I don't have any. I have the faith of Jesus, which is available to you. Oh, it's me, if I could just be strong like you. No, you listen. God took a weak vessel and made his strength known. I sinned, and that's why I stand before you. That's what you need to understand, is that I made some bad decisions and bad mistakes. And what was meant for evil, God turned it around for good because of his mercy. So don't you go home saying, Esme, Esme, Esme. And I know a lot of ladies do that. They do. You know, they think I'm a superstar or something. Please don't do that. Just know that what I have experienced, you have experienced, and many of you are, even now. Many of you have had worse experiences than I have. Some of you are living in some terrible conditions right now with relationships. And so I want you to go home and seek that wonderful God that has the power to strengthen that weakened vessel. So you see, this gospel, you all have a testimony. And share it. You have to tell what God did for you. And we teach our church family to be able to share their testimony in 3 minutes. Really fast. All you do, you know, it's one. I once was lost and now I'm found. Okay? I didn't know Jesus. I went to the clubs. I danced. I did this. I drank. I hated people. I even hated my mother. And then one day, I was walking through such and such, and I felt the presence of the Lord. I don't know what happened, but my heart turned. I gave my life to the Lord, and now look at me. I'm here. I'm knocking on doors. I'm witnessing for Jesus. I love my mother. Not even 3 minutes. That's how we need to do when we knock on the door, when we're sharing our faith. Be brief, to the point. You know, we don't need to know the details of what color the carpet was and you know, and all that kind of stuff. Get to the point and really, you know, do that. Just give your testimony. This is a different forum, of course, you know, when you want to share the details, because I need to take that lesson to myself. So let me continue. All right. Yes, Lord, I felt that, Jesus. I felt that, Lord. Thank you. All right. Now we looked at the gospel. So the gospel is the good news. Now we got to put on the faith. Put on faith. Put on faith. This is verse 16. Above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts. And we learned about faith. Faith is the word of God. Comes by hearing, so remember to speak loudly. The promise is in your hearing. Faith comes by God. So we know that faith is the word, and we know that the word is Jesus. So when that you put up that shield, Jesus is that shield. He is that shield. So far we've learned that this whole armor consists of Jesus and the commandments. Ooh. Okay, all right, keep that in mind. Keep that in mind, keep that in mind. Now we're gonna look at verse 17. And it says, take the helmet of salvation. Salvation. Acts 4, verse 12. Turn there quickly with me. Acts 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12. And it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under the heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you see, the helmet of salvation, again, is the name of Jesus. So this armor is being comprised now of Jesus and the commandments. Wow. Okay, let's carry on. I hope you're really getting this, ladies. I hope it is getting to your heart what is happening here. Above all, take the shield of faith. We've done that. And take the helmet of salvation. We've done that. Remember, salvation is also healing. It's healing. And Jesus was the greatest healer on earth. Amen. Praise his name. All right. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we learned about the Spirit yesterday, right? We learned what the Holy Spirit is, that it must dwell in you. That is, and who is, I mean, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. And this, if the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, you have righteousness. And what is righteousness? Righteousness is acting in accordance with divine and moral laws. So having the Spirit dwelling in you, which is the Word of God, is how you get the Spirit in you. You will live uprightly, keeping the moral laws of God. So now you have, and then with that in you, you are able to fight back. Because you see, it's a sword. You are able to fight back because you have the Spirit in you and you're living uprightly. You're living out the law of God. Oh, Satan has nothing in those who have the law of God. He can't get in. And that's why he couldn't get into Jesus, because Jesus was the law embodied. Woo, he was the law embodied. He couldn't penetrate him. And so you got to have that indwelling Spirit, which comes through the Word of God. And then it goes on to say in Ephesians, where am I? Ephesians, praying, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And praying in the Spirit doesn't mean praying in tongues. I want to get that. If anybody's going to speak in tongues, you better have an interpreter. Because the Bible says if you're going to speak in tongues, there need to be an interpreter there to interpret what you're saying. And so when I go to Germany, when I go to Spanish churches and give my testimony, I have an interpreter because I have a different tongue. And they interpret what I'm saying so that the others can understand. The Bible is an intelligent book. It's not a babbling book. It's an intelligent book. And we ought to study. That's the truth we need to know. Because you will also be faced, when you knock on a door, when you share the truth, with people who will say, you got to speak in tongues to have the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. I got the Holy Spirit. Who are you to say you have the Holy Spirit? It is for another to say, I saw the Spirit of the Lord working in you. It is for another to say that. You have the Holy Spirit only when you come to church and you speak in tongues, but during the week, you live like an animal. You curse. You have no relationships with the people in your home. You don't know how to talk to your colleagues at work, but then you come to church and you get on the Holy Spirit, and you know, these part-time Christians. God says, I wish you were either hot or cold. But because you're lukewarm, I just vomit you out. You make me sick. That's what God is saying. You make me sick.
Make up your mind if you're going to be hot or cold. Make it up. Because you know what? If I'm going to be cold, I'm going to go all the way and have a great party all the way into hell. I may as well enjoy myself because the world has fun things to do. But it doesn't lead anywhere. So if you're going to be cold, be cold. Don't be on the fence and still end up in hell. How miserable. You know, to have your conscience constantly bothering you. Like I told you, I'd go in the club and I couldn't even enjoy myself. You know, be free and enjoy yourself in the club. If you don't want God, make up your mind. And that's what God is saying now. Make up your mind. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You see? Because one day he is going to stand up and said, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still. And he will put on his robe of warfare, his majestic, get on that white horse, and he will come. Whether you're ready or not. He's going to come, whether you're ready or not. So this spirit is the Holy Spirit dwelling within, the Word of God, making you righteous, making you live uprightly. And you got to be praying. It says praying always. That means keep the communication with heaven and earth. Keep it going. The only communication that we have between heaven and earth is the mind. So if you lose your mind, what are you going to do? That's why you got to protect your mind through the five senses God gave you. Be careful where you go. Be careful what you see. Be careful what you hear. Be careful what you eat. Be careful. I fasted Wednesday, and I'm not bragging, okay? I'm just letting you know. But this is something I've done in my Christian life because I'm teaching myself to be hungry. Because there's coming a day real soon when there's going to be hunger in the land. And I need to know that I can last for 10 days. I don't know what's going to happen. That's the longest I've ever gone, but I don't know what's going to happen to me after 10 days. You know? But I got to learn to control my appetite and get under my body and allow my mind to control this flesh. This is a serious thing, sisters. But it's magnificent to see how God works in you to bring it about. You're not doing this yourself. Just be willing. Just say, God, I want to do that. How do I do that? Would you be willing? He says, come on, give me your power of choice. I gave you the power of choice. It's yours. But would you give it back to me so that I can choose for you of my great pleasure? Let me do your choosing. Give me your choice. That's all you have to do. Give it to him because it's yours. God wants to dwell within and make us holy and make us righteous. Oh, sisters, I have so far to go. There's things I'm holding on to. You know, there's things I'm holding on to. And I ask you, pray for me. I ask you, pray for me. And I know to do right. And when we don't do right, it is sin. Oh, we got to pray for each other because we're not all there. We all have little things we deal with. You know, some of us look at the girls with makeup and we get on at them. Some of us look at the girls with the rings and the jewelry and we get on at them. You know, whatever our strength is, we glory in it. And then we point the finger to those who don't have that same strength or look the same. You know, if you don't have a long skirt that's sweeping the floor, this makes you holy when you wear this long skirt. It's the truth. Certain institutions you go to, if you don't have on a long skirt, you get some looks. Ooh, there goes a sinner. I'm not a sinner. You see, now that's Pharisaical. That's Pharisaical. You see? Because there's a difference, again, as I said, between obedience and Pharisaical behavior. Don't get it wrong. Just because I obey the commandments doesn't make me a Pharisee. You know, so
let's not go there. I obey the commandments because God told me to. Amen. And it is the proof of my love to him. He says, if you love me, keep it. Keep it. So you see, holiness comes from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. So this is a great part of the armor we need to get on, and we need to keep it on. And let's continue, so we need to finish up here. And having put on this armor, let me just finish up here. Where am I? Ephesians, we are on verse, let's finish verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That means letting God know your needs. In the spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Watch. Do like the soldiers who Gideon had to choose. You see, the ones who got down in the water and just supped it up, he didn't choose them. He chose the ones that were doing this. They were watching while they were drinking. You gotta watch while you're in this world, while you're cooking, while you're cleaning. You gotta watch. You gotta watch while you're shopping, while you're driving in your car, while you're going to work. How do you watch? You stay prayed up. You're always talking to God. God, keep me safe on this highway. Lord, did you hear that conversation my boss had with me yesterday? What do you think of that, Lord? Ask him. And then let's be silent. Let him impress your heart. Well, you know what? I think you handled it well, Esme. Thanks, Lord. You're so cool. You know, have your conversations. Let your Savior be your friend. Practice the presence of God. You know, Jesus is sitting right here. He's been here all weekend. Amen. Some of you didn't even see him and know that. Amen. You know, he stood next to me. He sometimes sat on that chair and watched me. Amen. Practice the presence of God. Amen. He's with you. And if we practice it, we will be fearful to sin. Amen. Because we won't want to do things in front of God. Can you imagine committing adultery while Jesus is watching? Can you imagine fornicating while Jesus is watching? No, we won't want to do that. So if you practice the presence, you won't want to sin. You won't want to sin. Let's turn to Philippians 1. We're closing up. Oh. Philippians 1, verse 6. Philippians 1, verse 6. And then, when you put on this armor, don't be fearful. Don't be fearful. The word says, be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus. It is not for you to perform. Your part in performing this is giving him your choice, giving him your will. Lord, I don't understand all that Esme has said, but Father, I do want to understand it. Something is pricking my nerve. I'm uneasy. Something is making me want to study this thing through. Maybe I've been taught the wrong message all my life. I don't know, God, but I'm a lover of truth, and I need to know if this is true. So, okay, so just, all right, take my choice. Let me start from the beginning. Scratch it clean. And then, okay, now download what is the truth you want me to hear. I'm clean. I'm open to you now. Come on, because I want to go to heaven. I want to see Jesus. I don't want to go through all of this and not see Jesus. I don't want to go to hell twice. This is hell. This is hell on earth. You know, people dying at children's in school. You got to pray over your little babies to go to kindergarten so that man doesn't come with a rifle and shoot all of them. You got to pray. I'm tired of this world. I want to go home. I want to go home. I want to see Jesus, sit on his lap and kiss him on the cheek. Ladies, on your table there are decision cards. It's time for you to make a decision. Pastor Sandra talked about Change School of Evangelism. Some of you need to sign up for that. Some of you are great speakers. Some of you need more of Jesus in your life, and you need to learn how to get him. You need to start signing up to get closer to Jesus. Some of you feel the calling upon your life. Don't run any longer. Do it. Do it. I want you to take that slip, and I want you to pray. Put your name, your email, your address, your phone number, and check off what the Holy Spirit has told you to check off. Don't go with your feelings. We're not people of feelings. We're people of principle. What is God saying to your heart? What is God saying to your heart? And as you're making this decision, I'm going to sing my song to close. As you're making your decision, as you're making your decision, let's be quiet. Don't talk. Don't talk. Let the Holy Spirit speak to your heart. Let him speak to your heart. Is it this one? This is your prayer too, that Lord would hasten the day, and Lord haste the day when my faith shall be sight, the clouds be rolled back as a scroll.
It is well. So not everyone has decision cards, I'm hearing. So if you have a little piece of paper, you can certainly write it on. There's the Delta paper that may be on your table. You can write your decision on. And we're going to hand them into who? Give them to Pastor Sandra and the prayer team. Anyone? Or leave them on the table too, face down. We will pick them up. Let us kneel in prayer as we leave. For those of you who can, if you cannot, please remain seated and bow your heads as we pray and hold somebody's hand next to you. And let's sing that little chorus together. Side by side we stand, awaiting God's command, worshiping the saving King, living by His grace and moving on in faith. Jesus Himself will see us through. Meet you by the Savior's side. I'll meet you in heaven. We'll sing songs together. Sisters, oh, sisters, we'll be there. Soldiers, all are we. Soldiers, all are we, to go where Jesus leads. Yes, Lord, we'll fight the faith and we will overcome, because heaven is our goal to save it. So pray that we all will be there. Why don't you meet me in heaven? We'll join hands together. Meet me at the Savior's side. I'll meet you in heaven. We'll sing songs together. Sisters, oh my sisters, I'll be there. Pray that we all will be there. Hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Father, I bow prostrate before you, for you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. And you have done a great thing in this place through this pathetic woman right here. Oh, Lord, only you know, you and I know, that I am so unworthy. Oh, Father, you're so good. I love you. I praise your name. I praise you, Lord. Every woman here, Lord, take them down safely from the mountain. Let them bring the mountaintop experience with them, as did Moses. Let the shining glow of the Holy Spirit invade their mind, body, and soul. Remind them to remember all that they have heard. Now, Holy Spirit, continue the work of transformation in our hearts. I thank you for this wonderful experience that you have given to me. You have loaned to me.
Father, continue your work through all these women who are willing to go forward in faith and share their testimony. Cover us, Lord, with your precious love. Help us to keep truth girded around our loins, God, to understand the law, to understand your precious commandments, to understand, Father, that you, Jesus, you are the full armor that we must put on in order to go forward and witness. Remind them to bind and loose. Remind them, Lord, they have the keys to the kingdom of heaven. They have it. They have it, Lord. And remind them to things within themselves that need to be taken, removed. Glory, hallelujah. May thy name be glorified. As we leave, we thank you, we praise you. In the holy and wonderful name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. We praise your name.